Good evening, my dear brothers and sisters. Today is February 19, 2009. We are having our regular meditation class. How are you today? First of all, I would like to welcome all of you, especially our new friends who are first time here. I hope that you did enjoy the meditation session together. When we talk about meditation, you should understand that we meditate everywhere during the day. Even during we are at work, when we are talking, when we are eating, when we are drinking, if we do with our awareness and our calming mind, that should we understand that is the time where we meditate. Meditate doesn't mean only the time that you sit on the cushion, you cross your legs, in order to call meditation. Meditation means when you're able to calm your mind down. That's called meditate. So even though you are in a very crowded place, but in your mind, you calm and relax. You are meditation. You are practicing meditation. And the reason why every time when we begin the meditation, I used to give a very short instruction of breathing in and breathing out. Because that is the point how we focus our mind in order to help us to reduce our wandering mind. Because we wander our mind a lot. And when we practice meditation, we want to help our mind to calm down. Our mind, our body, they have the habit of wander. The body never sits still. The mind never stays still. So even when you sit down, you call meditation, but maybe you only do one thing yet, only that you calm your body. That means you bring your body to sit in one place. But the mind is not sitting. Sometimes we just sit there with the body, but the mind already visiting some other places. So sometimes we only practicing sitting, but we don't practicing meditate. So sitting meditation means you sit with your body and your mind also meditate. Your mind calm. So in order to help us to calm the mind, the very basic way that I used to share, that using some symbol but positive words that helps you to maintain your calming and your relaxing. For example, breathing in, I feel my body is very is calm now. Breathing out, my mind is calming now. And then you use two words, calming, relaxing. So when you breathe in, you say calming. When you breathe out, you stay relaxing. So there is a place, a destination where your mind pay attention to, focus to, then you don't think of others. So when we sit, we do not try to clear our mind completely. Now we feel like we're in space. We don't do that. But we train our mind to think one thing at a time, not too many. Because when too many things come at once, And then we don't know what's happening. We don't do anything clear. So like when you talk, you only talk one story, one at a time. If you mix up too many stories, then people don't understand what are you talking about. Same thing with the mind. Meditation is the time that we try to train our mind. One only. So that's why for a few minutes, you can change your topic. Breathing in, I feel happy. Breathing out, I smile. I'm smiling. So happy, smiling. So you can use some positive words that help you to feel relaxed, to feel happy during the time you meditate. So after the meditation, your body feels relaxed, your mind feels great. So please do not, we don't sit there to struggling with our pain. We don't sit there to fight with our wonder mind. But we sit there to enjoy the time that we're able to sit. We have the habit, if we don't sit, then we will walk. We don't walk, we will stand. If we don't stand, we do something else. That is our habit. The same as we watch television. We hold the remote control and, you know, we abuse the remote. So therefore, when we able to calm our body and our mind like that, there's a lot of relaxing during the day. When we walk, when we sit, when we do some other stuff. Because now we're able to calm ourselves down. And then we can, if something really seriously happens, you know, we don't frighten, we don't afraid, we do not scare, but we slowly to take them, to face them, and to accept. So the purpose of meditation is to help us to maintain like that. To make our body and our mind able to calm down. When you first practicing sitting, you feel uncomfortable with your back, your shoulder, your legs. It is all right to move your legs, you know. But when you also do with gentle. You do it, but you're aware. You're aware that your leg fall and sleep. You're aware that now you need to relax a little bit with your leg. So even during the time you practicing sitting with the community, if you need to go downstairs to use the washroom, you also have the right to do that. But you do slowly, gently. Because when you walk downstairs to go to the washroom, you also walk with your meditation. You don't practice meditation right in the meditation hall only, but not downstairs, not in the washroom. We meditate all the time. Because we are aware. We are aware that the body needs to move some water out. So we are aware that we are stepping downstairs. We are aware that we are walking in the community. So we support the community by walking slowly. When you close the door, you also close gently. And make sure you support for the others while they are meditating. So if you do that, you are meditation. So you see that when I invite the bell, before I invite the bell, I wake the bell. But I won't do this because that will make you frightened and shocked. So because everybody is in the very calm and relaxed, you know. So when I want to invite the bell, I will wake the bell, but very gentle. The first one I do a little bit gentle. Second one, a little bit louder so everybody can hear enough so they can get ready for the sound of the bell. If I do nothing, everybody is coming and suddenly I invite the bell and you will be shocked, frightened. So even the one who invite the bell, you should also invite in a such a way that make people feel relaxed when they hear the sounds of your bell. Same things in this entire life. Before we talk, before we do something, make sure what we do, what we talk, make people feel easy, make people feel better, make people feel happy. If not, the way we talk, the way we behave, will hurt others. And if you can do that, you don't name yourself a meditator, but actually you meditate. Because you can see clearly, you can aware clearly, you can realize exactly what you need to say, what you need to do. And what is that? That is the practice. And that is the vow. If we don't vow to do, we never done what we vow. In Buddhism, we use the word vowing. Everybody and everything in life, when we do from our heart. We do from our compassionate, from our compassion. And because of the compassion, that's why you make a vow. Like when you want to ordain as a monk or a nun, you also make a vow. I vow to ordain as a monk, as a monastic. Because if someone forced you to do something, you're never happy to do. But if you vow to do, right? And that is your aspiration, that's your good intent. So today, even though I still not well, but I vow to come with the Sangha. So when I sit here with you, I'm happy. So I will be more happy if I see lots of you come and practice with me. And you're also happy because you make a commitment, you make a vow to come here. Others also make the vow to come here. We all come here because of our vow. So when you do something in life, we all do by our compassionate, our loving kindness. So these loving kindness are the qualities, are the power, the energy to help us to create a vow. The husband and the wife, they also make a vow. I vow to support my wife. I vow to support my husband. Because the husband and the wife are the friends on the path. They need to walk together. They are like the pair of sandals. They walk together for 10 years or 20 years. So suddenly, the other one disappears. You can find another one with same size, same style, same brand name, but remember, one will look old and one will look new. Never match. So what we have to do is we have to understand the situation in order to vow together. So our Bodhisattva, they make a vow. Bodhisattva means the person who have the good intent to help others. So each of us, we are the Bodhisattva. We have a good intent to bring the joy, the happiness for ourselves and also for others. And the very first vow of the Bodhisattva, we vow to respect all the Buddhas. When you heard the word Buddhas, you think that person have to be a holy person. That person must be a saint. So we bow. Or we come to in front of the statue of the Buddha and we bow a few hundred times a day. So that is the vow to bow to the Buddhas. That is not the right way, the completely way to understand bow to all Buddha, respect to all Buddhas. We should understand the Buddha in this way. Everybody, we have the Buddha's nature. We can become the Buddha. So that is the reason why when we meet each other in the Buddhist temple, we join our hands together. We bow to each other. That means we respect each other as a Buddha to be. And the joining the hand, joining the hands together, stand for the lotus bud, a flower. Come from your heart. That's why you present your two joining hands together right in front of your chest. This is the lotus from my heart I offer to you. So there is a gatha, a verse that we recite. A lotus for my friend, a Buddha to be. And you can replace a lotus with any other flowers that you know your loved one like it. You can replace a rose, a tulip, a carnation, whatever. You can replace that flower so you can offer to your loved one. So with sentient beings, we bow and respect. With insentient beings, we use them properly. When we say Buddhas, this bell is also a Buddha. The stick to invoke the bell is also the Buddha. The meditation cushion is also the Buddha. The meditation mat, also the Buddha. Now, how do we respect the sentient being and the insentient being? Insentient. With humans, with one who have the feelings, we respect. But with the material things, we use them properly. That means respect the Buddha. We are not only respect, you know, humans, but with the cushion of meditation, we don't respect. Because if we don't respect, we don't have a chance to use that again. So when you use it, you put back properly. With the book, we have to respect because we have to keep this book for others. Another time to use it, another people to use it. So in this daily life, every single thing you meet, you should respect because there are things to use, people to respect. We need to communicate with material, with human every day. And if we don't respect, we cannot reuse this again. So that's why in Buddhist traditions, when people come into the temple to volunteer, even in the main hall or down in the kitchen or cleaning up, we use the term Kong Hua. Kong means you put your attention to work in order to receive the benefit of the merits. you see the word cống right at the donation box. Cống means your good intent. Đức means your virtue. When you do things, but you do with your good heart, the merits will be there. Doesn't matter how much you put in, but you put in, you donate with your pure heart. You donate with your good intent. You don't do because you want people to know that how much you donate. So that's why we don't pass on the basket. In the temple, only a donation box. You can put any amount in there. But you do it without wishing anyone to know your fame, your amount of donation. So right in that moment, your merit, your virtue of the practice. So don't mean your good intention. You come here to help to clean the hall. You have a good intent because you want to keep the public place clean, nice. So everybody can come here to enjoy this atmosphere together. Very good intent. So because you have that kind of good intent, you will do wholeheartedly. And because you have done things and wholeheartedly, you attain a good fruit. You attain the good beneficial. So that's why when they come here to help, after they finish, they put back everything in order. After they cook, they wash the pots, they dry them, they put back nice and neat. So at home, you also can do this. If you clean your home the same as you working for the temple, you don't wait until you come to the church, the temple, in order to do, to call community work. But even at home, you do cleaning for your house, your room, you do some dishwashing, you are also practicing on community work. You are practicing on your first vow, respect the Buddhas. Because after you use the dishes, now you need to wash them. If you wash them properly, you put them back properly, you are practicing respect the Buddhas. Because with the things, with the material things, we have used them and washed them and put them back nice and neat together. With people you meet, you always join your hands and bow and respect. Easy to practice. You don't have to wait until you come to the temple. You know, like this afternoon, when I go to the do some grocery, and on the way out, I saw one of our sangha. She is driving. When I cross the street, she joined her hand right in her car and she bowed. And I also respond to her. I also join my hand and do like this. And because we cannot talk, so I'm waving to her. So I do both. And some of the nuns, they are bowing. Their bowing become their good habit. So when they do grocery, the cashier put everything in her bag and they give some change to her. Before she take the change, she bow to her. And the cashier, look, but it is a very nice tradition. So we train ourselves in such a way that we always have the respect mind in us. The mind to respect others. We don't talk about that person good or bad yet. We don't talk about yet. But still, that person, a human, we respect. period. Now we do not need to say, he did not say hello to me first, why I have to hello to him? If we wait until that person say hello and we respond, nothing to say. But the practice here, we are able to do things that people are unable to do. That's why the word practice is possible. Practice means something you never do it before, now you do it. Practice means things you think you're unable to do it, but now you're able to do it. Because practicing means you cultivate. You cultivate, you are transforming yourself, become better each day. That's why we call practice. Like first time you come to sit on floor, you feel very uncomfortable. But every day you go home, you practice to sit for 10 minutes. Every day, 10 minutes, even at home. You cross your legs, you sit on the cushion at home for 10 minutes. That is practicing. You are unable to vegetarian completely for one day. But now you're able to do it for one day, for 2 days, practicing. So none of the things in this life that you don't train and you don't do it often and become a habit, impossible. It become a talent because we do it every day, because we practice every day. When I was in high school, I was very shy to speak. Because I'm afraid when I speak, people will make fun of my pronunciation. So I never speak with anyone in my class. Only very little conversation with teacher when I need. So you know, after a few years in school, I still cannot speak English. And then when we start our meditation session since 1997, and I thought, if I don't try my best, then I never improve. And I cannot help, even though I have a good intent to share with Westerners, friends, my practice, my Buddhist practice. But if I don't learn to speak their language, then how can I share with them? So I make a vow not to be shy. So when you come here on Friday, you see that when I share my practice, I have to put a lot of effort. Because if this is not my mother language, but I have to practice. I have to practice on my English pronunciation and learning. Can you see what I mean? So, I want to inform this. Because the Buddha have taught us that everybody, every one of us, we are the Buddha. The Buddha never want us to become his servant. If you believe me, I will bring you to my place and be one of my students forever. No. Now we respect the Buddha as a teacher. And we are the students. We are learning to become the Buddha. So that's why the word practicing is very deep. And we heard the word a lot. But if we don't think deeply about that word, then we never apply anything in our daily life. Maybe we only learn the lecture. We learn Buddhism, but we never be a Buddhist. We learn a lot of knowledge about Buddhism. we can come up and give a very good presentation on Buddhism. But we are never apply and practice what we learn. So that's why in Buddhism we have two terms, a philosopher and a practitioner. When you learn a lot, you are only a philosopher. Or maybe you are a learner. But more than that, you should make yourself become a real practitioner. Hanya, han means practice. Ya means a person. Hanya means the person who practices. Học giả, học means learning. Giả means person. A person only learning but no practice. So maybe at first, we are the learner. But the more we learn, the more we should become a practitioner. Because when you practice, you make your learning improve. And the more you learn, the more you make your practice deeper. So the practicing and the learning, they are very needed. But they request how we use them, how we learn, and how we practice. If we truly practice for the sake of ourselves and our loved one, not because of the fame, not because of our title, our position, then people can feel you are a real practitioner or you are just a pretend you are a practitioner. When we are practicing bowing to the Buddha, that is the time for us to practicing to be humble and to drop down what is called self. Because we used to attach to the word me and mine. This is me. That belongs to me. That is mine. And because we always protect me and mine, that's been us and something belong to us. That's why we never come. We have to think a lot of trick, a lot of things to protect, to preserve, make sure that belong to me. That is mine. So in our practice, even this body is also nothing. It's only temporary. One day, we all gone. No matter how much we have, if we come to the last minute, we come to the last day, how much space we need? Only a plot in the cemetery. And if we cremate, 6 hours later, everything into a jar. So even we try to achieve a lot, but how much we need for the day, for our life. And that is something we should use time to contemplate. And we don't have time to calm down and to reflect on that. We don't see the truth. Once we're unable to see the truth, we're just chasing one after one. And we don't know when to stop and how to stop. When you feel enough, automatically you have enough. Because you know what is called enough, then you stop wanting more. But if you don't know how to know what is called enough, you want more. Because you don't feel enough, that's why you want more. And the more we want, the more we have to suffer because of that. Because we need to run after. So the first vow to respect means with material, with the things around us, we use them properly. We respect them. But with human, we respect. And the second vow of the Bodhisattva, that they are praising the Buddhas. You can see that the first one you respect, the second one you praising. The first one you respect because everybody. If they still a human, we respect. But if they do something wrong, we don't praising. We don't praising them, but we do respect them because they are human. But we only praise people do good things. We don't praise evil things. So if someone they are doing something good, we can do both, respect and praising. But if they don't do good things, you don't have to praise them because there's nothing for you to praise. But you do respect. That is our practice. So once you're able to apply the very first vow into your daily life, you feel very happy because you have done the best of your humanity. As a human, everybody we meet on the street, we hello, we say hi. It's a very beautiful tradition. When you walk on the street, you see, you know, we both meet, we say hello, hi, hello. Even we don't know who they are. We don't know each other. But, you know, the greeting, the salute to each other is to show the respect. Sometimes we are driving and we will yield to make to that person pass by. We see the signal, the light, they want to merge. We're able to stop and let them merge. That is the respecting. That is the practice. In the past, we never think about that. We have the right to go, we go. We don't think of any people beside or behind us. But now when we drive, we do think about that. That's why our driving more carefully, more gentle. And if you can do something very small like that, but at the end of the day you feel good, you feel happy. Because in the day you have done something. That's why every day in the Buddhist tradition, there is a verb to remind the community. Today is ended. The day is ended. Our life is also shorter along with the day. Look back to your day. What have you done to make others happy? Sometimes we are unable to make others happy, but we also unable to make us happy too. We have a day of suffering, a day of sorrow. So you know that every Friday night, I always feel happy after a meditation class. Honestly. You know why? Because I feel that I made it. I make the day possible. I make the evening possible for my loved friends, for my loved sister, my loved brothers. And if any Friday that I see most of you come, I feel happy. And any night that I able to come here to sit with you for the whole night, like meditation and share some practice with you, and you know, after we stand up, we bow the Buddha, in me I am full of happiness. For more than 10 years already, none of the Friday that I'm here with you, but I don't happy. No matter how many of you here, but every Friday I see you and I make the night possible because I feel that I still have a chance to sit with the Sangha. I still have a chance to be here to run the night with the Sangha. Make me happy enough. Maybe the day, that night, my talk is not well. But still, I go through the night with the Sangha. Happy enough. So that is the thing I want to share with you. And then, you know, sometime in the morning, when we do chanting and meditation together with the monastic, I also feel happy after that. Because I think I have the morning with the monastics. So if you can nourish yourself, small things like that, you have a full day of happiness. Let's say in the morning when you wake up, you can smile and say, I'm happy because I have sleep one night and I still can wake up. What else do you want? Because life is only, you know, happiness is like the honey in the flower bud. Never calling anyone. But if anyone pass by without paying attention, they will never realize there is some honey in the flower bud. Happiness is like that. Very tiny. But also very big. Depends on how you receive them. Some people, they think they have this and that, they will be happy. But no. A happiness is we're able to sit together. We can have a meal together with our family. Some mother, they say, my most happiness is I can see my two daughters home with me. That's all. So you know, I nourish myself to be happy in section. So in the morning, I wake up, I feel happy because I still can wake up. And then now I put on my robe, I come in, meditate with the Sangha, and then do the chanting. I tell myself, I have gone through a good morning. And then I go downstairs, prepare for the novices to go to school. I make breakfast for them. I make sure the youngest, the novice, dress properly before he go to school. And then when they go outside, they depart, I feel happy because I have done something for the novices in the morning. That is my happiness for the day. And then later on, after the novices go to school, I can go back to my room and do some cleaning or some reading or some preparing that I need to do. I can have lunch with the monastics later. So every day, you have happiness. It's like you're taking the courses. So if you are the student, you go to school, you can go through your math class, you're happy. After another bell, you go to physics class, you're happy. Because you have gone through everything smoothly. So when you're able to come to the Friday, you tell yourself, I'm happy because this week I can make it. I have some brothers or sister when they come here after a long time, they say, I have been so busy. I really want to make my Friday possible, but you know, things come suddenly, and for a year, they are unable to make it. So if you're able to make the Friday, that is not something easy. You do your best. You make an effort. So even though when I'm sick, but I still can make my Friday night with the Sangha, I'm so happy with that. So again, thank you for being here with me on Fridays. And your presence nourished my practice a lot. When I see you sitting meditation with your happiness. I can feel. I can feel you unraveling in that kind of happiness. And I automatically, when I look down, I see you, I feel you happy in that way. And I feel happy too because I have done something for others. And I feel that the day I live is meaningful. That is something we can contemplate, meditate on. And when we can see that, we can make our day of living meaningful for ourselves, for the others. And that is the practice. The practice means we're able to put our good intention to every single thing in our daily life. You're able to join your hand to bow. Even you go to your work, you don't bow. But inside of you, you show your respect by hello, hi, how are you this morning? Those are showing your respect, showing your caring, your love. And what maybe at first with the one who always have difficulty with you, you do it hard. But not because of that heart, we're unable to practice. So once you can do that, become your love habit, you feel good because you have made it. Something difficulty, but you have gone through. The word practice, very possible. Thank you for listening, and I hope that you do enjoy your weekend. Now you and I invite you to enjoy the three sounds of the bell. The sound of the bell is like the voice of the Buddha call us back to the present moment. So when you hear the sound of the bell, you can go back to your conscious breathing. Breathing in, I know that I'm still alive. Breathing out, I'm happy. Breathing in, I still can hear the sound of the bell. Breathing out, I'm happy.